Red Line.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and its weekend program, The Red Line, with me, Andrew Kripko.
And Sergei Strokhan.
Welcome to today's program, and this is what I want to highlight as the news-breaking stories of the week that proved to be extremely tense, dramatic, and controversial. SPIEF 2016, defying sanctions against Russia. Captains of world business and policymakers braved Western sanctions to participate in this St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, which proved to be a brainstorming session on how to capitalize on the new global economic reality and unfreeze interaction with Russia. Orlando shooting. Lessons of another American tragedy. The bloody carnage in the gay club of Florida, the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, raised stakes in the presidential race with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton clashing on how to handle terrorism, immigrants, and gun control. And also, Nicolas Maduro battling to safeguard Chavez's legacy. Nicolas Maduro, Venezuela's embattled president, is struggling to block a referendum aimed at removing him from office in the desperate effort to prevent another color revolution in Latin America. So let us come to our first section, Beyond the Headlines, to speak about the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. The annual gathering of the captains of world business and policymakers, described as the Russian Davos, was held just days before the EU was expected to prolong its sanctions against Russia for another 6 months. And these sanctions were originally imposed 2 years ago in response to the conflict in Ukraine. In a fresh attempt to put more pressure on Russia and not to backtrack on the U.S.-led sanction crusade, State Department spokesman Mark Toner grimly warned that the companies opting for doing business in Russia were taking commercial and reputational risks. The U.S. government won't be present at this forum at any level, Toner told the Interfax News Agency. However, the St. Petersburg gathering of 500 leading business people from 60 countries came up with a strong message to the Western leaders, revealing growing uneasiness and frustration over the arbitrarily imposed taboo on doing business with Russia.
Well, Andrew, I would describe what we witnessed this week in St. Petersburg as getting back to common sense. Of course, the voices from the past are still loud, and those quotes you're referring to from Mark Toner, they're still working. But at the same time, I was trying to compare what we've seen this year and last year in St. Petersburg, because, you know, this is an annual gathering. I personally see change. And some changes are quite dramatic. Let us take the visit of President of the European Council, Jean-Claude Juncker. You know, that was a hot button issue. And he was criticized in the West. Some were saying that Russia would try to use it to its own, and as what they describe as Russia's propaganda. But he was acting on his own. We didn't force him to come. And the same with UN General Secretary Ban Ki-moon, who also spoke about Russia as one of the key global players. And you've seen that those statements got angry rebuke from Ukraine.
Oh, Ukraine was incensed.
Yeah, absolutely, which even came up with its protest, which was denied by security.
They're always being dramatic.
United Nations Security Council. So all in all, it seems that while now it is too early to speak about lifting sanctions, and as you said, just days after the forum, they're expecting to give another stamp of approval for another six-month sanction.
I don't doubt that they will pass.
Yeah, but still, I insist that those are voices from the past. I see that while still technically, there's no way to stop sanctions as such. This is only the matter of time.
Yes.
Yeah. Russia is too big to be ignored, and those guests of St. Petersburg Forum, and we have captains of world industry from more than 500 countries, they wanted to catch the train of Russian economy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of optimism and room for hope for the future. So we're going to discuss this issue first with our in-studio guest, Mr. Vladimir Ivanov. He's head of the East-West Institute's branch here in Russia. Hi, Mr. Ivanov. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah, thank you for coming. So, you know, as Sergei was just saying, what's happening right now in St. Petersburg, it seems to look like a sea change in at least the attitude of Western business towards Russia. So how do you assess the events in St. Petersburg, and how optimistic are you that there can at least be some pragmaticism at play in the future?
Well, first of all, you have already outlined the dual nature of U.S. messaging. I also noted this. You mentioned Mark Toner's quote, and I noticed the quote by John Kirby just a couple of days ago, right before the forum, who was saying that most U.S. companies recognize that attending this forum sends a poor message, and they're about the acceptability of Russia's actions. Well, that's interesting to know that the U.S. government sending this message to businesses does not take into account, well, at least publicly, the interests of business. While at the same time, the U.S. government itself, when it considers it appropriate for national interests, goes into various dialogues with Russia. It goes to dialogues with Russia over Ukraine. It goes to dialogues with Russia over Syria. It goes to dialogues in Russia over cyber. And just recently, our institute organized a dialogue, non-governmental dialogue in Moscow on cyber issues, on the as a follow-up to a governmental meeting which took place in April. So actually, why the government has the ability to have a dialogue with Russians, with the Russian government, and the businesses do not have the ability to talk to their business counterparts and to Russian government too.
Yeah. So, yeah. This is a really good point. And, you know, you're talking about the fusion between economics and politics, and that's how we have another guest on the line to explore this a little bit further. And that's Mr. Paolo Salom. He's a political commentator from Corriere della Sera paper from Milan.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Salom. How are you today?
Hi, very well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very good, and thank you for joining us today. You know, I wanted to ask you about the Italian delegation at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, because it seems like Russian-Italian economic ties are on the upswing. There's a lot of personal trust. I mean, there are no impediments to the relationship except for, of course, sanctions. And I'm wondering, can Italy be a champion for basically bucking the sanctions and kind of pushing back against them? What's your take?
Let's say that Italy, I think, is well represented. We have almost 40 among the biggest companies and the leading economic personalities who all went to St. Petersburg to join this forum, this Russian Davos. For what concerns the sanctions, well, of course, you can understand that there is the official policy, which is tied to European policy. Then there are the national interests, and we know that Russia and Italy have old ties. Italy used to be a good friend of the Soviet Union, even when the East-West dialogue hadn't already begun. I think that Rome can be the forefront runner in this opening up to a new era of relations between Russia and the West. But, of course, we have to understand that we have to follow two main roads. One, it's the surface official road, and then we have a more practical road, which is the road of talks, continuous talks, and business relations that can be followed and can grow in the foreseeable future.
Mr. Salom, let me ask you about the personal role of Prime Minister Renzi. You remember at the midst of the sanction war, it was Prime Minister Renzi who hosted the ASEM summit in Italy. And now, today, he came to St. Petersburg along with the head of European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker. You know that Juncker was very much criticized for his move. Do you think for Renzi that was a sort of also a bit of a personal courage to go against the mainstream in Europe, to come and to talk to Russia?
Well, we think that Mr. Renzi is doing what every single chief of government, head of state in Europe would like to do the same. And in this sense, we are opening up a road for the others. Nobody is happy here in the western side of Europe about these sanctions ordered from the other side of the ocean against Moscow. I think that in a world where there are no more bipolar situations, there are no more leading powers, we have to increase the role of a single country And in Europe also, we have to understand that there are also our national interests, which are, as you know, in these days are really at stake. We have in Great Britain next week a referendum to decide if they want to stay or they want to go out of the European Union. So the world is changing. You cannot think of a world stuck into the same roles forever. So Russia in this moment is a very interesting country, and its role in the Middle East, in Europe, can be important, and we have to see this, and we have to consider this. So Mr. Renzi is doing a good job in going to St. Petersburg. I think he is the only one chief of government who has been invited. So I don't think that he is courageous. He's doing what he has to do.
Okay, well, thank you very much for these very profound thoughts. You definitely gave our audience a lot to reflect on, and I want to thank you again for coming onto our program, Mr. Salom. Thank you.
Yes, I can hear you well.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for coming onto the program today. We're very happy to speak to you directly from St. Petersburg.
Red Line.
That's how we have another guest on the line to explore this a little bit further, and that's Mr. Pekka Viljakainen, Finnish businessman and senior advisor to the president of Skolkovo Foundation. Can you tell us about the significance of the forum in the current political and economic context?
Well, I think it's from the Russian, the past 2 years has been quite slow, both from the Russian side, but also from the international aspect. People have been wondering what can be done together, how the sanctions are impacting and so forth. And now, clearly, I think there are a lot of Europeans here in St. Pete Forum. So it seems that Europe wants to have a growth, but also Russian side seems that it's time to work together, because the competition between in economies, it's not between the countries, but it's between the regions. So that's why I'm happy to see a lot of European colleagues here.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the mood over there. I mean, can you tell me about the mood of the European colleagues? Are they enthusiastic, cautious? I mean, what's your impression?
No, if it was 2 years, I think 2 years ago or last year, it was cautious. I think it's positive. I was just left from the breakfast session of Mr. Graf at Sberbank, and there was lots of European. I think the statement is, I would say it's an optimistic. It's not like super kind of a big celebration, but it's an optimistic and very pragmatic, I would say.
Mr. Viljakainen, you are a veteran of St. Petersburg Forum. I know that you're a frequent visitor. You participate in all debates. So
yes.
I want to see a certain tendency and to hear from you your projection. So next year, when you go to St. Petersburg, what are your expectations? Do you think by that time sanctions will still stand or we will finally just get it going to the history?
First of all, I'm happy to be called as a veteran. I'm a true veteran, yeah. I personally think that it's very much now up to the coming months and weeks, I mean, decisions done both in Russia but also in European Union. And I think, if you ask a prediction from me, a projection, I think that there will be now a growth, not two digits, but the slow growth of the business between Europe, U.S. and Russia, and this will automatically mean that next year there will be even more positive signs or trends here. However, of course, it is still like quite fragile. So I really hope that the current crisis and problems could be gradually be solved in a way or another.
Okay, well, we have about 30 seconds left. I just want to ask you real quickly, do you think that right now what's happening, it kind of symbolizes the end of this so-called isolation policy that the U.S. was imposing in Europe? Is that kind of how we can read your impressions and everything?
I think yes. Yes, I don't think that it has been an isolation policy. I think that it has been a reaction, the only reaction what could be done there, I mean, both sides. But I think that it's people are taking more pragmatic role and people really try to find a peace, so to say, how to work together.
Okay, well, thank you very much for finding the time out of your very busy day to join us, Mr. Viljakainen. We are very honored to speak to you. Thank you. And right now, just to wrap everything up, Sergei, it seems like we all agree that what's happening in St. Petersburg is a very, very important moment. It does give a lot of optimism for the future. Yet, you know, the only impediment right now are the American-imposed sanctions on the EU, forcing the EU to impose these sanctions.
And I love that explanation of Mr. Paolo Salom, who said that Europe is defying the orders which are coming from the other side of the ocean. It seems that what we've seen this week in St. Petersburg can come as a moment of truth. And I'm sure when we get to the studio in 1 year and speak about the next St. Petersburg Forum, we'll see quite a different picture. We'll see more presentation, and probably by that time, sanction policy would go into history.
I'm also hopeful for that, too. So we're going to thank all of our guests for participating, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Vladimir Ivanov. He's head of the East-West Institute's branch here in Russia. Mr. Pekka Vilyakhanin, Finnish businessman and senior advisor to the president of Skolkovo Foundation, who was talking to us from SPIF. And Mr. Pablo Salom, political commentator at Corriere della Sera paper from Milan. Following in our program, we have Orlando Shooting, Lessons of Another American Tragedy. And also, Nicolas Maduro, battling to safeguard Chavez's legacy. Stay with us.